All right, welcome on into the 8 o'clock hour. It's Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock. Oren.
Don't do it. I know where you're going. Based on your voice already, I know where you're going.
Asked about this.
You going to change your answer?
I think I'm going to change my answer.
So instead of both of them being that? Mm-hmm. Well, no. I think you have the caveat with they better.
They so better.
I think that saves you from they having to change better. The answer.
That's with a UH, Oren. They better.
I want to tell them why the mood has changed, Chris.
Well, things started off nice in Flushing as the Braves open up a set with the Metsies after taking 4 out of 5 from the Fish. We get on the board. Drake Baldwin with another RBI. Let's go. We're in business. Strider on the hill. We get things rolling. And then... oh, my goodness. So, here's the deal. It is now 5-1 Mets in the bottom of the third with 2 on and 2 out. Spencer Strider has pitched 2 2/3 innings, given up 6 hits, 5 runs, all earned, and 2 home runs. Are we concerned, people? I know people were yelling at me the other day when I was asking, are you concerned about Spencer Strider? They're like, Turtle, look at the numbers. He doesn't give up that many runs. No. Oren, what did I say to these people? I said, watch him pitch. Does he look the same to you? No. He looks like, to me, an absolute shell of the guy that we had all this hope and potential for. Now, does this mean he can't return to form? No, absolutely not. And I think, again, we have the caveat of him and Sale at the top of the rotation next year. He better be that guy. So I'll hold my ultimate long-term judgment, to be fair. But in terms of right now, oh boy. Yeah, I'm worried. He looked awful. He's given in his last, 7 innings pitched, he's given up 17 hits. I would say that's not good. Hello, Bueller. Not good. This is just what we need, right? Riley's hurt again. You know, now you get Spencer Strider flaming out. And he's the only guy left. He's the only guy left from the original starting rotation. My goodness. All right, well, let's get a palate cleanser then and hear from a guy that's really been impressing at Falcons camp, Khalid Kareem. He stopped by Andy and Randy earlier today, and this was their conversation.
It was good. Real competitive. You know, energy guys flying around. It was just good to see another guy besides, like you said, our own teammates.
Right. How much time has passed between, like, right now and when you got done? Like, just for fans that are listening, because we're trying to give them as, like, up close of a view as we can. Like, you're fresh off the field. How fresh?
Yeah, still sweating. Yeah. Still sweating for sure. It's probably been, like, 7 to 10 minutes max.
That's great.
Yeah. How's your Atlanta experience been? Because your first year, obviously, went had time in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. You came over late last year to Atlanta. How has your Atlanta experience been so far?
It's been pretty cool. I mean, I've been coming down to Atlanta for years. Right. My family's from Columbus.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Oh, cool. Let's go.
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you said you from your family from Columbus. You ain't from Columbus.
No, I'm from
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've been coming down here for years. My uncle, he lives in Athens, and then my wife, her family's from Georgia. So I've been coming down here since college. So it's been pretty smooth, honestly. I actually bought my house 2 weeks before I signed here in the preseason. So I closed on it second week of preseason.
Sweet.
While in Chicago.
Uh-huh.
And it all worked out.
Okay. And what about the team though?
Oh, I love it. Guys are great. Coaching staff is amazing. It's a great place to be.
You played in college too, right? You were at Notre Dame. All right.
Yeah, I did. Go ahead.
It was a good game.
It was. We lost both of them.
Yeah, you did.
By a total of 7 points.
It don't matter. You lost them 2 L's.
They were good games. Yep. They were really good games.
Them still 2 L's.
Yep. I'll take it. I'll take it on the chin.
Randy went to Georgia.
I
went to Washington. I don't know if you guys played us at that time, but you probably beat us if so. My 21st birthday, we played Notre Dame at Husky Stadium, and you guys beat us so bad that day. I think it was Brady Quinn and Jeff Samardzija. They beat us so bad that day.
Yeah,
we
I was
left
in elementary school.
Well, yeah, I had dating folks.
Fair enough.
But it's all good. But hey, answer me this, because we watched you play on Friday, and you were able to get a sack in that game.
Yes, sir.
But you were playing early to late in that game. Tell us about, because I try to break down, starters aren't playing, these guys are going to play, because you got to play all these reps, obviously probably play teams reps also. What is that like, getting yourself ready for that?
It's very similar to practice. I mean, I just take every opportunity. It's like, you never know when your opportunity is going to come. So whenever your name is called, you got to strike gold. And so that's what I just try to do, take advantage of every opportunity that's given to me.
Khalid Kareem joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. We've talked a lot for years, before you got here, last year, this year, about the pass rush, about the edge position. A lot of new faces, a couple first-round draft picks, free agents, all that. What is the competition like amongst that group?
It's a great competition, man. I mean, you have a great leader in Flo. I mean, he just goes out there and shows it every day. He's very consistent, shows us how to work and how to get to the quarterback. But also, he's very violent in setting his edges. And you got AK, who's coming off a 6-sack year. We're looking forward to him to add to that pass rush. And then Braylon Tries, having him back is huge. He's very athletic, very sneaky strong. So I love him. And then, like you said, the two rookies, they're ballers, man. It's the reason why they went first round. And so for me, it's just like it's an uphill battle. But honestly, competition breeds excellence, and so it's bringing out the best in me.
How has this defense, because you got here late last year, so you were kind of in that same system last year to a new system.
Yes, sir.
How is it different?
It's an attack-style defense, so this is very similar to what I played in Indianapolis. So this is very, very simple for me. And so it's an easy transition. We're really just getting off the ball.
Right.
Getting off the ball and stopping the run on the way to the quarterback. That's pretty much it. Yeah. Okay.
Khalid Kareem joining us here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Joint practice for the day over.
Yes.
Obviously, you'll take on the Titans again tomorrow in joint practice. You mentioned an uphill battle, obviously, a lot of depth at the position.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think gives you an advantage, or what do you think sets you apart from some of the guys in that group?
I think we all do a lot of things well and very similar. I think for me, I just pride myself on doing the dirty work things. Some guys don't want to do, whether it's setting the edge, putting your face in the fan, I'm willing to do it. And then if you need me on special teams, I'll go and do that.
Right.
I have, no problem. I'm in 6 years in the league, and, most guys, they don't want to play ST, but I'm like, if that's how I get on the field, how I make the team, so be it. Let's do it.
Sure.
How is this experience different than the other stops you had? Because like you mentioned earlier, Cincinnati, you mentioned Indy. How is this experience here in Atlanta different from those? Because we always clown Cincinnati here. That's just what we do. I just put it out there.
Cincy was a solid place, man. You had to get out the mud.
Right.
It's the definition of the Midwest, just grimy. Here, they do everything the right way, from the weight room staff, the trainers, the coaches, everything done the right way, and it just sets everybody up for success.
How's the energy with Jeff Ulbricht as DC? We hear a lot of different things about him. We see a little bit. We've talked to him. But from your perspective, what's he bringing to the table?
He brings this mentality of just being dogs, just taking our opponents to deep water, like whatever it takes, just outlast our opponent and just out physical and outrun to the ball. So he brings that very, very high intensity that we all love, and it's spreading out to everybody from defense, offense, special teams.
Last one for me. Talk, because we always ask about Brick and everything like that. What about Ra? What is it about him? Because we love him. Everybody loves Ra around here in a different type of energy. Not a big rah-rah guy, but a rah-rah guy.
No pun intended.
Nickname Ra.
Yeah. Ra's a great man. He's the definition of a player's coach. He takes care of you as far as on the field, too. High, low, medium days. But when we work, and he expects the best out of us. And he's always has our back, whatever it is on the field. If we get into a little scuffle out there, he's like, hey, man, I got you. He'll talk to the rest for us. He's really good. He's here for us.
What do you see from Penix? I mean, you're one of the guys trying to rush him and hurry him up and make him uncomfortable. Obviously, out there today, the Titans were the ones doing it. But what have you seen from the young quarterback in this camp?
I think he's very mature beyond his years. I played with a lot of great quarterbacks. I've been around Matt Ryan, Joe Burrow, Caleb Williams, Justin Fields, and he's definitely wise and mature beyond his years. He's making some great reads. I think he's really taking that next step to being that great starting quarterback in the NFL.
Great stuff there from Khalid Kareem, the new addition to the Falcons late last year, trying to make a roster spot. And he's been another guy, along with guys like Josh Woods, that have really provided a spark to the Falcons and the linebacker room and those guys that are just able to come in and be instant energy guys and instant impact guys like what we've seen this season so far from James Pierce Jr. and Jalen Walker, the top picks in this year's draft. When we come back, we got a full Falcons hour for y'all. We're going to let you hear all the interviews from today as the 8 o'clock hour's rolling on. AK, Arnold Ebiketie, visited with the morning shift. He is a guy that we highlighted with Josh Kendall earlier that he needs to have a big year this year. Maybe not 10 sacks, but maybe close to it. What did AK have to say to the morning shift? You'll hear that next. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game. And, of course, take us with you anytime, anywhere on the Odyssey app. Before I let you hear from AK, Arnold Ebiketie on with the morning shift today, did want you to hear a couple of things Jesse Bates had to say after the joint practices today. It is Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you until 10 o'clock. The first thing Jesse Bates was talking about today was he's proud of his roommate, DeMarco Helms, in the safety room there and how he's emerging back on the scene.
Yeah, I was very proud of him. You know, all the stuff even after, I was super proud of him. I mean, it's a lot of built up stuff that I'm sure that he was going through that whole year. I mean, last year he was on a cart, getting carted off the field, and for him to come out there and perform the way he did, I was just very happy for him. And, you know, as a brother, as a teammate, I was just very excited to watch him play. And now the challenge is, can he do it again?
Yeah, and I think he can. I think he's a pretty good player. Obviously, the pedigree coming from Alabama, he's going to have a role. And I think that's the way it's being described by Raheem Morris. He's, as I said to Oren yesterday, he's kind of like a, you know, like a specialty, almost like reliever. He's like a closer coming in your safety room to come in and lay the wood down on like he did against the Lions in preseason week one. Jesse Bates was also talking about Cam Ward. Was he out there yapping today?
You know, we got a little chatty back there. You know, I think that he's a hell of a competitor. And from the outside looking in, I just love the way his mindset is, the way he's going about his work, and just very humble. Obviously, as a safety, as a quarterback, we're going to talk about his stuff, you know, when we're playing against each other. But it's cool to see a young man like that come in, the number one pick, with a humble mindset and, you know, perform the way he's doing.
Yeah, and it seems like he's going to have his work cut out for him. Let's be honest, the Titans aren't projected to be very good. But they do have some weapons. Our old buddy Calvin Ridley with a nice catch today, and he let everybody at Flowery Branch know it, saying, remember me, remember me. Yeah, Calvin, I remember you and everything else you did off the field too. Let's not forget about that. Xavier Watts says Jesse Bates starting to really come together.
I think he's starting to get comfortable. He's starting to actually talk to us, you know, the meeting rooms and stuff. And, he's just starting to understand the defense. Things are starting to slow down for him. You know, sometimes as a rookie, you just kind of second guess yourself, like, do I got it? Do I got it? And I think he's really starting to understand what we're trying to do.
And that's good to hear. And that's what you want to hear. You want to hear slow, steady, incremental progression. He's not going to come into the defense and pick up 100% of the things right away. But when you have a mentor like Jesse Bates, I'd say you're in a pretty good spot. What about playing with Jeff Ulbrich and his new style of defense? What's that been like?
Nothing extravagant that he hasn't said before. You know, he talks about our heart, our connection with one another, our mind, understanding what are we trying to do. And then the fist part, I think the fist part, that's what he was talking about today was, who's going to pop off the tape? Who can we talk about in our meeting rooms? Who's going to set the tone for this defense? And I think last week was, you know, a showcase of what we're trying to build. And then with the ones actually playing out here today, it's cool to see us set the standard.
What do we got there, Oren? We got heart, mind, and fist. Very tribal of Jeff Ulbrich. Interesting. We'll keep an eye on all those terms as the season goes on. A couple more from Jesse Bates, and then we'll hear from Arnold Ebiketie on with the morning shift. He said about the defense, he thought they did their job today.
I think our group did a really good job, honestly. The entire group, from the guys up front. I don't think they ran the ball very well today. So it starts with those guys up front. We understand that. And then on the back end, we got to be able to lock guys down as well. So it works hand in hand.
And then finally, Jesse Bates, again, hearing from him after practice today on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. He said, today, a day like today makes me reassured that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah, it lets you know, it reassures that we're doing the right stuff. You know, it's, like I said before, it's easy to go against the same looks and going against the same guys and stuff like that. But when you get different looks from a different offense that, you know, we're not scheming up practice or anything like that, it really starts to get that belief capacity within one another.
Good stuff there from Jesse Bates. We'll see what tomorrow has to bring in terms of the second and final joint practice. Now let's hear from a guy who I think has a lot to go out and prove this season, Arnold Ebiketie. He joined the morning shift right here exclusively on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Arnold Ebiketie, I don't even know how to introduce you guys anymore. You play edge, you play defensive end, outside linebacker. What do you say that you play?
I'm just a football player.
You don't have any categories for it, huh? You just throw it out there in a position. Obviously, right now, kind of in, I don't know, I don't want to call them dog days. You might call them dog days, some other people, but obviously some rain today. How are you feeling so far throughout training camp? What do you feel like the process has been like so far?
Feel good. I like where the process is at. I like where we at as a defense, just trying to continue to get better out there every day. So that's just the main focus.
What do you think that you worked on throughout the offseason? Like, what would you say in particular? Is there a hand movement, foot speed, burst off the ball? What we got going on?
I think for me, the biggest thing was more so adding more arsenal to my pass rush game and, like, just using a different move. I think that was some of the things that I tried to add to my game. So lately, it's been working so far. So just try to get better every day, kind of.
So Mike asked you about the work in the offseason. I want to know about the fun stuff in the offseason. What'd you do with your time off?
Travel, you know. Where did I go this offseason? I went to the Bahamas, I went to Puerto Rico, and other than that, I was just traveling within the U.S., so I like to be by the water, so anytime.
Very nice.
Arnold, it's another new defense for you. I think it's your third defense into three, you know, you've been in the fourth defense in, what, 4 years, right?
Yeah.
And you've become a pretty consistent player from what they've been asking you to do. Is there anything changed? I know you were pretty aggressive and pretty fast off the ball on Friday night.
I feel like that's the biggest thing about this defense, just getting off the ball and playing fast, which I like very much. I feel like kind of fit my skill set. So I'm excited to see what it looks like throughout this year and just continue to play fast.
All right, now there's certain publications that have your Penn State guys ranked number one this year. How, I mean, are you excited at all about seeing Penn State try to make it back to the playoff and make the college football final?
Then us, Penn State, this year we feel like it's the natty of nothing, so we're going all out.
All right, now, you know, I got to ask you, you got some young guys in here, and I know that they, you know, you're kind of an older head. Now, you said fourth year. Yeah. Are these guys coming to you? Is AK giving them anything?
You know, anytime you can help. I'm the type of guy, pretty much lead by example, but anytime you can help and give them some nuggets that being a young guy in the league, you pretty much don't see it right away. So I try my best to do so.
Yeah, well, let's talk about that a little bit more. He talked about your fourth defensive coordinator in 4 years. Y'all are minus a couple older players. A couple years ago, we talked to Calais, Grady, obviously last year, Eddie Goldman, guys that have been in and out. I mean, who do you think it is that's kind of taking the reins defensively this year and really stepped up to be the vocal leader?
Talk about D-Lon specifically, yeah, yeah. Or the whole D-Lon.
I don't want to put anything in your mind. I mean, obviously, David Onyemata's been around a little bit.
Oh, sure, David. I said David, kind of.
Yeah. I was like, man, I feel like this is a slam dunk. I don't want to put anything in your brain.
I definitely said, I mean, he more with the inside the lineman, sure, yeah, but yeah. I would say whenever we get together as a whole, yeah. David, I would say you're definitely one of the big vet out there, one of the vocal leaders. I said David.
Well, let me piggyback off that as well. Leonard Floyd, obviously, in the mix. You can see out here him kind of chopping it up with Raheem Morris, him being more vocal. What is that relationship like, and what do you think he's brought to some of these meeting rooms?
Oh, yeah, Flo, I mean, that's one of the guys we locked in right away from day one. And he's been in the league for a long time, and he played with a lot of good players. So just picking some of the nuggets and some of the knowledge that he has and that he has seen throughout the leagues so far. So anytime I can do that, it helps my game as well.
We are joined by Arnold Ebiketie on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Since it is training camp, you're rooming with people. Who are you rooming with?
Zach Harrison, D'Angelo Malone, and Flo.
So what is the vibe in your rooming situation? Did you bring a console? Who's controlling the aux? What's going on in there?
Well, wherever I go, I got my PS5 with me. So sideways, even if I'm going home for a couple of hours, I bring it with me. So, and for the most time, like, I talk a lot with Zach Harrison. I mean, just talk a lot of here and there. So probably after camp, a couple of hours to talk with him, then play the game for like an hour, then pretty much lay down. So.
That's Arnold Ebiketie, football player for the Atlanta Falcons, live out here in Flower Branch.
Good stuff there from AK. As, again, I don't know if he's going to be a 10-sack guy, but at the end of the day, he needs to do more because he has not lived up to the hype of being drafted where he was drafted. And he, along with everybody else on this defense, has a lot of pressure and a lot of expectations coming off of last year and what happened with the collapse and making sure that this year is the end of the 7-year drought, the end of the playoff drought for the Atlanta Falcons. And he's going to be a big piece. Again, he's projected to be one of your starting rush ends on the Atlanta Falcons defense, along with Leonard Floyd, unless, you know, James Pierce Jr. or Jalen Walker or something crazy happens over the next couple of weeks. But I believe AK is going to be a starter. I don't know. I don't know if he has it in him or not. He's one of the players.
There's a healthy bit of skepticism coming from you right now, Chris.
On this roster.
What gives you pause about Arnold Ebiketie taking that next step?
Because it's a big step. It's the step from rotational pass rusher to dominant pass rusher. And now a lot of people can make that step. We've seen a lot of dudes come and go here in Atlanta, but not a lot of dogs come and go here in Atlanta. There's been a bunch of dudes that have come through here that have just been dudes. And to differentiate between that is the differentiation between a solid to good NFL player to a very good to great NFL player.
Fair enough.
And I've seen spurts of it. At the end of last year looked really good for him.
Just consistency is what he's missing.
It's got to be more consistent, and it's just got to be more, period. I mean, 6.5 is good. Again, that's a good, nice rotational defensive edge. But to be a stud, a 17-game starter, one of the main guys in the cog of the defense, that number's got to be double digits, man.
We talked about Michael Parsons with Greg Allman, and that number now for pass rushers is $40 million. I don't know if AK can be a $40 million a year pass rusher, but you'd see the difference between where Michael Parsons is, where Myles Garrett is, and where Arnold Ebiketie is. I guess, I mean, it'd be awesome if he became on the level of those guys, but is there like a happy medium of where he is now and where those guys are? Will you be like, I'll take that?
Well, if he gets double digits, he'll be the first since Beasley in 2016. So 2017, I mean, yeah, it's been a long time since the Falcons have had a double-digit sack guy on this roster. And if he could be that guy, then we'll see. All right, 404-726-0929, 404-726-0929. Dukes and Bell to close out this all Falcons 8 o'clock hour. Got a chance to catch up with our return ace and guy that could play a little wide receiver too now. Kadarius Hodge stopped by Dukes and Bell. We'll hear that conversation next to close out the 8 o'clock hour. Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, Odyssey app. It's Chris Thomas tonight.
How about that, Chris?
Oh, my goodness.
Went from, oh, no, to, all right, back to, oh, no.
Laugh so you don't cry, people. Really? It's Chris Thomas tonight.
Good news is he hasn't given up 11 hits again.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, because they've all been concentrated in blasting home runs. So last time we checked in, the Braves were down 5-1.
There's been quite a few runs scored.
Yeah, a lot on both sides. The Braves all of a sudden came to life out of nowhere, or maybe not out of nowhere, considering they did just take 4 or 5 from the Marlins.
That offense, man. Yeah, and tied up guys at a hit. Nacho Alvarez with a big hit.
Nacho! And they tied it up at 5.
And then Spencer happened.
And then they didn't. And then Spencer Strider went out to pitch the bottom of the 4th inning. and just gave up a three-run bomb. So it's now 8-5.
He better.
He better, man. He better. Y'all telling me you're not worried about Strider? Turtle, calm down. Why are you always so negative? Oh, really? Oh, you know he only gave up 4 runs over the course of a 3-start spell. Oh, really? Mm-hmm.
He better.
He better, man. That's all I'm saying. Oh, no. Oh. We were just an inch away from it being 9-5 and giving up another home run. Speaking of, hey, Oren, you know what the theme of today's show is? 9-5.
9-5, there you go.
Because
yes.
it almost just became 9-5 in the Braves game. That ball, that's right, Dolly, sing it. That ball was an inch away from going out of the park. Man, what is in the water? What is going on, Strider? 8 earned runs, 3 home runs given up, coming off of a start where you gave up 11 hits.
How frustrated. What's his post-game press conference going to be like? Because he
shifted.
Has he really? He's gone from being self-aware to...
Yeah, he went from putting all the blame on his shoulders to the last time against the Brewers. He was like, yeah, they're just really good. And they just beat the crap out of me. Now what is he going to say? I mean, this dude's about
to... You don't go full Pedro, the Yankees are my daddy. You don't do that.
No, when he came close... This dude's confidence is so rattled right now. It's sad because he's a bulldog and he should. Oh, my goodness. Has he been awful? Y'all are trying to tell me that he was okay, and I'm sitting here trying to tell you he's not. Spencer Strider is not okay. There's something. He's either not fully healthy or his mechanics are off or he's in his own head. Something is not right with Spencer Strider, and I don't know what it is. Not saying it's an injury. I'm saying it could be anything. Could be not fully healthy. Could be in his own head.
It ain't all good.
Yeah. Could be, you know, his routine is messed up in some way, shape, or I don't know. He's a very routine-oriented guy. I have no idea what it is. But what I do know is something ain't right. Something is right, though, with our next guest. Kadero Hodge joined Dukes and Bell earlier today, the wide receiver slash special teamer extraordinaire. And this was their conversation about him getting ready for the 2025 campaign.
So, man, what did you get out of today? I mean, joint practices. Coach Ra was talking about getting some quality work in. How did you feel about it?
I felt great, man. It's always good to go compete against other teams, man, to see where we're at. I felt like we had a good practice, but we got to keep getting better and better every day.
Kadero Hodge had 2 of the biggest plays of the year last year, Carl. He helped you win the Tampa Bay game in overtime.
Always about you.
Amazing catch. And, of course, you were like the guy one-man gang against the Raiders, baby. So do you feel you're underappreciated as one of the best special teamers in the league?
Never, but I don't worry about appreciated or underappreciated. I just go out and do my job, man. I got bigger goals this year. Of course, first team All-Pro and Pro Bowl, 2-time Pro Bowl. So I don't want to be a one-man, one-hit wonder. So right. I gotta repeat and improve myself more. So that's what I'm going to do.
Speaking of that night, take us back. I mean, I'm talking about the Tampa game last year. Take us back, man, from the catch to the celebration in the end zone. Your teammates are chanting your name. The crowd is swag surfing. It was bananas.
Yeah, it was that whole – I tell everybody to this day, man, that whole situation was like a movie to me, bro. And it was like, yeah, one of those crazy endings in a crazy movie, bro. It was slow mo, but then it kind of speeded up once I caught it and slipped out of a tackle. And I seen green, I knew like, yeah, it's over with. I usually have a celebration in my head of like, I know what I'm going to do, but I kind of blacked out as soon as I crossed the line. Next thing I know, I see Bijan and everybody else running to the sideline. Yeah, it was crazy, but the whole thing was like, yeah, it was definitely one of the best feelings I've had.
It's Kadero Hodge, as you mentioned, Pro Bowler, special teamer, wide receiver for the Falcons here on Dukes and Bell. 6-3 we were last year, man, on top of the division, and things obviously went the other way. You feel like this team can get right in the playoffs with Panic. Seems like there's a good energy with this camp.
Yes, we definitely can. We just keep putting together the small pieces, getting better day by day, and never get comfortable. You know, we got to stay hungry. It's a long season, 17 games. We got to be hungry the whole season. Never get comfortable with records, and just every day respect our opponent, but come out and win and dominate and compete every week.
For kids out there who might be listening, your journey to the NFL is unique. You didn't necessarily go to a big D1. You were in the SWAC.
He's SWAC.
And you had to come make a team, man. I mean, how difficult was that? And talk about that journey.
The journey is what I really appreciate about the game. And I think the work is what really makes you appreciate it and where you've come from. And I made, like, a lot of decisions that I wish I could have went back. But then at the same time, I'm like, I appreciate it because I went through that for a reason. So I appreciate my journey. And, like, everybody has a story, and especially in this league. And that's why you see a lot of guys come out here and work as hard as they do and celebrate as hard as they do. And they make a play that could look small to you, but to them, from what they've come from, that play could be like life changing to them, and it shows like the work they've put in. So, man, yeah, I appreciate the journey I've done, man. I tell anybody, I've come from nothing, but I'm never getting comfortable.
Pro bowler, man, Kadarrell Hodge, giving a message for you guys out there. Listen up here on Dukes and Bell. That's the thing. When you get opportunities, just like the Tampa game we talked about, you're going to make the most of it. What is Zach Robinson telling you about your role this year?
I don't really know, to be honest. I'm not going to lie, man. I just kind of go out every day and improve my worth on offense. But you know why I'm back, and I think a lot of people in Atlanta know why I'm back, and that is to ace my roles in special teams, and that's what I'm going to do. And I'm going to do my role is to the best I can. And when I'm in on offense, I'll do my best as well, and I'll take advantage of every opportunity I get.
So special teams is unique. Every team in the league needs guys like you. I talked to a couple of coaches, and they were like, man, we'd love to have a guy like Kadarrell Hodge. Why is it so hard to find guys that are versatile like yourself that can do all the things?
Because really special teams, man. You got to come out of this all dog, all want to. I'm, to be honest.
For real?
You got to, yes. Like, a lot of guys don't want to do it. And you just got to come out and have that mindset that I'm going to win. I'm going to win my competition. I'm going to win my battle. I'm going to do this. Like, every week, like, it's hard to just keep getting hit in the mouth every play. And you know what you're going, you know what's coming every play. So it's hard to find those guys that bring that type of energy and consistency to a team. And then you can plug them in on offense or defense and have that same production from them, so.
And Kadarrell, with the new rules, man, I don't know, how do you feel about it? Because fans, we miss the old kickoffs, and I mean, the big hits. I get what the NFL is trying to do, but man, that's football.
Yeah, man, it's me playing in the old ways and this way. It's an adjustment for me too, especially the kick return is so different, bro. I was cool. I'm not gonna lie. I was cool with the old school way. You know what I'm saying? Right. It was a lot more violent. But you know, we're trying to be safer nowadays, so. It's growing on me, so I'm not gonna say I completely hate it because I see what they mean, but I'm still 85% the old way for sure.
Right, no doubt. What are you doing in the downtime, man? I mean, obviously camp, you're here every day. I mean, the Titans are in town, but what's Kadarrell Hodge doing in his downtime?
Downtime right now, man. I just I like to rock out, so you know, I had to make it all make sense, man. I just bought me a guitar last week.
Hey. What?
Yes, sir. I'm full Hendrix. I'm bought in.
I'm a drummer. Carl can play bass.
Hey, let's crank up the band. Let's crank up the band.
What got you into it, man?
Man, I always wanted, like, I did music as a kid, but I was on trombone then. Like, I was good, but it wasn't something. I just wanted to do it because we couldn't play, like, football until seventh grade.
Right.
And I actually enjoyed it, but I feel like the guitar is something I always looked at and I always, like, looked at in church. I grew up in the church, and my guys knew it, but I never took the time out to try to learn it. So I was like, I feel like I need to make it all make sense, because a lot of people ask me this question when I'm rocking out on the field, like, do you actually know how to play? And I'm like, I'm la 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 la. So I'm like, I actually got to learn how to play it so I can be more confident with everything.
It's a discipline of its own, man. You know? Maybe it helps you mentally with other stuff.
It does, though. That's also that's also something that helps my mental discipline, and also doing acting as well.
What?
Yes. That's my main thing after football. So I'm taking acting classes right now as well, and sharpening my tools as the season goes. So that's something that's that keeps me calm and takes my mind off the game for a minute.
You saw Bijan was doing some acting last year. He played a bad guy.
Yeah, that's my guy. That's my guy. We went on a couple things together. Me and Bijan be talking here and there about some stuff. So, yeah, it'd be pretty cool. We link up after football and everything.
So you got an agent for that?
I'm working on that. My team, Clutch doing their thing. Okay. I say Clutch doing their thing, reaching out to different people. But, yeah, we working on that.
The only other thing I got for you is I know you love ball, but what about that baby girl?
Oh, that's my number one. Yeah, baby girl, and I actually got one on the way.
Oh, congratulations.
Two under two, Irish twins. It's crazy.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, but we're excited, man. I just found out I'm having a baby girl actually Sunday. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah, man, it was a crazy feeling. I was praying for the boy. I'm not going to lie. I was playing for Blue. I wanted to get my boy out the way, man. So if I have another one, I wouldn't stress it. But the pressure's on. The pressure's on for three right now, bro. But
wow.
I love my baby girl, especially my girl right now, man. She's my heart for real. She's the reason I go home, and it's a whole, like, I forget everything that happened during that day. So, yeah, that's my number one.
The videos y'all make, man, are awesome. Brother, I love it because that age, you just can do almost anything with them.
And she actually be, like, ready. As soon as she see the camera on, she lights up. So I'm like, yeah, she's a natural. That's what I like. Yes, we have a lot of fun together.
Cordell Hodge, man, appreciate you. Good luck this season.
Thank you.
Good stuff there. That's really awesome stuff to hear about him becoming a dad two times. Oren knows what that's like.
Oh, my gosh, yes.
Two under two.
And he has, the two girls, I think he said now. So, yeah.
That's going to be.
Two boys with me, yes.
You know what? It's a good thing he makes an NFL salary because that's going to be a lot to handle in just a few months for Mr. Hodge. All right, when we get back, I want more information on this Trae Young thing. We talked to Caleb Johnson earlier in the show. But I want to dive a little deeper. Let's get a national perspective. Because I want to know if there's something here or if this is a big nothing burger. We'll welcome in our buddy Trevor Lane, front office show, Lakers Nation. Give us all the insight into what's going on with our star here in Atlanta. And if Trae Young not getting paid this summer is actually a thing to worry about. We'll do that next to kick off the 9 o'clock hour. Chris Thomas tonight, Turtle, with you till 10.